Hello and welcome to the Equalizer podcast. I'm your host, Ariana Cascone, and I'm here today with Har Johal of the Equalizer to talk all things Canada women's national team ahead of the World Cup that's kicking off next week. So before we get into all those details, how are we doing today, Har?
I'm doing great. I'm still in Vancouver. I have not left for Australia. It's a lovely, sunny Vancouver day, and I'm very excited to come on and talk about the women's national team.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're here. And I'm really excited to see what sort of content you cook up with, you know, being in Australia and at the World Cup this summer. So Canada are set to kick off their World Cup campaign in Group B against Nigeria on Thursday, July 20th, right? So just a week away from the day that we're recording. So we record on Thursday. And then they'll play the Republic of Ireland on the 26th, and they'll close out their group stage against Australia, right? One of the hosts on July 31st. So before we talk about, you know, outlook of these games and how Canada might do in their group, I thought it would be fun just to talk a little bit about their roster construction. So, you know, there are three goalkeepers, seven defenders, five midfielders, and eight forwards on this team. So what is your general impression of this roster?
I think it's a really strong Canadian roster. There's a lot of familiar faces fans and listeners will recognize from Canada's Olympic team that won gold in Tokyo. There's a lot of core there. There's a lot of integral pieces that have remained and are vital to Canada's success. I think maybe one of the biggest changes, but I wouldn't really say it's a big change, is Caitlin Sheridan's coming in. This will be her first major tournament where she is the starter. Obviously, Stephanie LeBay, the Minister of Defense, helped them win gold. So Sheridan's coming in. I think she'll be a brick wall. She's always fantastic in the NWSL. So that's one change I think fans will notice. Obviously, we have to talk about the players that are not going to be there through injury. Janine Becky, Jade Rose, and Desiree Scott. They are big omissions. They are big absences for Canada. They're really going to have to hope that the depth shines through, and I think they have the depth. I think they have a lot of players who can adapt and play, you know, in the midfield or up top as a forward. They can interchange, and I think that's what Bev was going with her roster. We mentioned how many forwards they have, but they can really come into the midfield. Adriana Liam, Deanne Rose, Michelle Prince, they can all intertwine and they can all make a big contribution. So I wouldn't really put a lot of emphasis into what positions players are playing and how they're going to form. I think we're going to see a lot of mixing around and see how Canada does with that.
Yeah, that's some really good insight. I mean, I think it's interesting that you mentioned this idea that a lot of these players listed in the forward group can play in the midfield, right? When I looked at this roster and I saw only five midfielders, I was like, oh goodness, what is Bev Priestman doing, right? Especially just thinking about, you know, if we think about depth, if one of these midfielders gets hurt, right, that substantially impacts who they could put on the field. Of course, in a tournament like the World Cup, you kind of have to plan for injuries, right? It's kind of a grueling tournament. And unfortunately, these things happen. And of course, we don't want them to. But, you know, if we're thinking about forwards that can play elsewhere or just the forward pool in general, right, I see Nichelle Prince on this roster, and it's really exciting to see that she's come back in time for the World Cup. She hasn't really gotten any time yet, right? Because she's like fresh off of her injury recovery. So do you envision that she will be, you know, an integral part of this team? Are you surprised to see that she made it back in time, given that she hasn't, you know, played in the league to this point, the NWSL?
I'm a little bit surprised, but not overly surprised. I think Desiree Scott was always going to be the long shot of the three players that were going into camp with significant injuries. I think they were really pressing hard to get Nichelle ready and get Nichelle fit to be able to make the team, and she has done so. Credit to her. That's a phenomenal recovery. And we'll see how Bev uses Nichelle Prince. I'm not quite sure how many minutes she'll play, or maybe on the wing or up top. I think they're going to have to maybe bring her along slowly, maybe off the bench for 20, 15 minutes. If it was me, I would play Jordan Heidema and Chloe LaClasse as two players to go get goals because they've been phenomenal. You know, Nichelle hasn't played, and Adrianna Leon has, she was with Portland, and she really did get an opportunity to play there, so she's not really on form. So I think those two could be options later in games if it's tied or if Canada needs a goal. So I'm curious to see how Nichelle's used, Adrianna, and Deanne Rose as well. She's been back a little bit earlier than Nichelle Prince, so we'll see how Bev uses her, and obviously Christine Sinclair. So there's lots of options for Bev to use, and we'll see what she's kind of cooking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, at the front end of that response, you mentioned Desi Scott, and you know, this is, so she was at the last three World Cups for Canada, right? So this is a really big omission for this team, I think, in terms of veteran leadership, obviously, and then also on-field abilities. So do you think this midfield will look drastically different without her? And do you think that, you know, they'll sort of be able to figure it out and cover up the Desi Scott, you know, size hole in their midfield?
I think, you know, having Desi not being able to play in the midfield is a huge loss, but I think off the pitch, her leadership and her ability to be super positive and always looking forward and rallying her teammates, I think that's going to be the bigger loss for Canada, mm-hmm. not having Desiree Scott there. As for on the pitch, I think we're going to see a lot from Jesse Fleming, Quinn, from Grosso, and I think Sophie Schmidt. I think we're going to see those main four as options in the midfield. Obviously, Bev likes to play Fleming and Grosso as the two kind of holding defensive midfielders. So I think that could be an option. But yeah, midfield, they can't afford any injuries to those four that I mentioned. They really need them to play their butts off. And I think they're going to be carrying heavy minutes without Desiree Scott there. So it's interesting to see if Simi Rujo, if she gets in, if she gets any minutes in her first World Cup. So midfield would be an area where I'm keeping a key eye on to see how that transpires and how Canada does without Desiree Scott.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'll also be watching these games with a keen eye toward the midfield. And, you know, I also wanted to circle back to your mention of Christine Sinclair, right? She is, you know, one of the, like, her legacy, you can't say enough about it. I think she has cemented it already. She's the best goal scorer in the world, right, across the men's and women's international game. And, you know, this is likely going to be her last World Cup. What do you think Sink's role will be on this team? Like, is she going to be a starter? Will she be a sub? You know, how are her minutes going to be managed, knowing the quick turnaround between games and if Canada really wants to set themselves up to make a long run in this tournament?
That's one of the key questions that a lot of fans and media and everyone's kind of asking is, how is Bev going to use Christine? And I asked Bev the other day on her media call. And, you know, they're going to use Christine how they've used her in the She Bleeds Cup and the recent games Canada has played. Where, yeah, some games she might start and she might play 60, maybe 70 minutes, but there's going to be games where she's not a starter. And I think that's kind of what's happening with Christine and how her role has kind of changed a little bit with Canada. I think, you know, we could see her coming on as a sub late if Canada needs a goal or if it's tied or they need points. But she's not at the stage where she's able to play three full 90-minute games. And I ask, what 40-year-old athlete is able to play that many games in a short time span? Yes, she's wonderful. She's the GOAT. She's probably one of the best Canadian athletes in any sport of all time. But eventually, time can catch up to you. So I'm not saying she's not going to have a big part. I think she's going to be managed well, and we're going to see how Bev does. And so I think it's going to be really key to manage Christine's minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, also talking about other goal scoring in general, right? If we're talking about Christine Sinclair, we have to be talking about scoring goals. Where do you think that Canada's goals will come from, right? So you mentioned potentially Jordan Heidema's role, right? Chloe Lacasse, thinking about maybe Adrianna Leon. Do you think that Canada will be, you know, will thrive in transition? Will they, shaking your head, no. So what is the way that Canada will score goals at this World Cup?
That is a $1 million question. We always want to know where the goal is going to come from, who's going to score the goals. Mm-hmm. It's not a new phenomenon. You mentioned the run of play. No, that's not where Canada gets goals. It's set pieces, it's free kicks, it's a penalty. It's, you know, hard, physical, football, maybe a garbage goal. They don't care how the goal goes in. They just want to get a goal. And, you know, they're not going to go through half the team and string 20 passes together and score a goal. They're going to get a set piece, or it's going to bang off a leg, or they'll even take an own goal. So they've been working on set pieces. They've really improved in that category. And so I think maybe off a corner, I think that could be something Canada looks to do. They have the players to be able to score in open play on offset pieces. So I think, you know, you don't really need a lot of goals. You get one or two and you're good. And since Bev has come on, defense has really been the focal point, the strong area where Canada succeeds. And if they can keep a clean sheet or maybe just allow one, I think they'll be in good standing. You know, they're not going to go score 4 or 5 goals a game and it's going to be a goaling blitz. They're just going to play low-scoring games, try to get a couple goals. And that's how Canada was successful at the Tokyo Olympics. It's worked for them. It's their bread and butter, and I don't expect that to change.
Yeah, so if we're thinking about, you know, Canada needing 1 or 2 goals and then really defending for enduring games, I think that's, you know, another question we have is who are the key defensive players for this team? Of course, you mentioned Caitlin Sheridan, who NWSL watchers will be very familiar with, right? One of the best goalkeepers in the NWSL, now stepping into the starting role for Canada. Who are going to be the key players in front of her that we really should be keeping an eye on?
Kenesha Buchanan and Vanessa Gilles. It's going to be Vanessa's first World Cup. She's known as the magnet because she clears all the balls away. She gets rid of any danger from the opposition. So Kenesha and Vanessa are the two anchors, the two center backs Canada will rely on the most. I think maybe possibly we could see a switch to 3 center backs since Shalina Zdorsky could come on. That could be a tactic we see from Bev. At the fullback position, Ashley Lawrence, obviously a mainstay. She's going to be out there. And I think maybe some combination of Jade Riviere, Gabrielle Carl, and Alicia Chapman. So we'll see how much Bev wants to play Alicia Chapman. Obviously, it's a long tournament. You don't want to maybe run her ragged early on in the tournament. So I think there could be a mix at that other spot for fullback. But yeah, Kenesha and Vanessa are the two mainstays at center back. And I think, you know, as long as they clear everything, and they've been great, so I think they'll be very helpful for Kaylin. Yeah, the defense is Canada's strong point.
So before we talk about how the team might fare in the group stage, we'll just take a quick break. Okay, and we're back to talk about how Canada might fare in Group B. Right, so they're coming off an Olympic gold medal, like you mentioned. And so I think right away, because of that, expectations are pretty high for this group. So I think the other thing when we think about Canada that we have to keep in mind is some of the off-field things that are going on, right? So if you could just give a rundown of some of these bigger picture on-field things that could potentially be distractions for this team off the pitch during this World Cup, what would you say?
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll be as big of a distraction as it was at the She Believes Cup. Obviously, they were going to go on strike, but they were threatened with being sued. And obviously, they didn't want that to happen, so they played. You can visibly see how exhausted and frustrated they were at the She Believes Cup. They admitted it. They didn't play at their best. But I think going into the World Cup, you know, they have kind of a practice in how to deal with that and kind of how to put the focus on football. So while the labor discussions are still ongoing, I think the focus is going to be on the World Cup and how the team plays. Obviously, they're still looking for a long-term CBA agreement as of this recording. So that's something that's never too far away. And I think hopefully we'll hear more news maybe before the World Cup starts or after the World Cup has concluded. But for now, the team wants to play at the World Cup and be at their best. And that's really what they can do right now.
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, this off-field stuff being a distraction, I think in a way that can be inevitable. It's really difficult, right? These players are human and it's hard to compartmentalize. But I think the flip side of that is when there is something for, like, players are collectively fighting for one another and fighting towards something. I think that's another thing that can almost like band them together. So we have seen that in the NWSL, right? Our teams facing really a lot of off-field adversity, doing just incredible things, right? We saw that from the Washington Spirit, from the Portland Thorns. And so I think, you know, this is obviously a really rough situation for Canada. But in terms of like their focus being on football, of course, these are professionals. So I'm totally on board with sort of like what you're, how you're contextualizing, you know, this situation. So if we get back to some of the on-field stuff, right, we're thinking about who else is in Group B, Nigeria, Republic of Ireland, and Australia, right? So how do you think this Canadian team really stacks up to their Group B opponents?
I would say they're the favorites to top the group. They're the Olympic champions. They should be getting more respect from fans and media around the world, and they will tell you that, and they should. I think the game against Australia is going to come down to who wins the group. That's going to be the big game in Melbourne, the third game of the group stage. And I think whoever wins that, that's going to be key, because you don't really want to come second in Group A, because that will likely mean you have to play England in Brisbane. And playing the European champions, it's always tough. Canada will be playing them in a warm-up game on the 14th of July. So they know England, but I think you got to win that group because it's a lot easier path. You could play Denmark if they finish second in England's group in Sydney. I think they can do very well against Denmark, but I wouldn't want to roll the dice against the Lionesses. So that game in Melbourne against Australia, with all the home fans cheering on the Matildas, it's going to be an electric atmosphere, and it's going to be interesting to see how Canada does, if they can weather the storm. Maybe they'll have won the group by then, possibly. We don't know. I think it's going to be key, that game for sure. Obviously, the travel going from Melbourne to Perth and back to Melbourne, it's not ideal. It's one of the most challenging travel schedules of any team at the World Cup. Ironically, Republic of Ireland has a worse schedule than Canada does. So I think they can also be tired when they meet in Perth. So I think getting points out of that first game against Nigeria, that's going to be key. I think the Republic of Ireland, I'm not sorry to say, I think that will be the easiest game for Canada. I think that's where you have to get that win, and you can put that on a billboard in Dublin. But I think that's got to be 3 points for Canada if they want to win this group.
That's a bold statement. So we're going to have to come back after the group stage and see how that aged. But I like the confidence there in Canada. Do you think that the order in which these games are happening is advantageous for Canada? Like having Australia be their last game, when you said like they could have already won the group by then, right? Or would it have been better to start off the World Cup campaign playing Australia if Australia is their, you know, strongest competition in this group?
I think it's just fun because you want to build up and be playing your best football as the tournament progresses. You know, mm-hmm. In that first game, maybe you're not firing on all cylinders. Maybe you're not, you know, kicking ass right away. So I think you want to kind of build up and get your team playing as best as the tournament continues. It's a long tournament. And so it's not really how you start. It's how you finish.
That's true. And so thinking about closing out the group stage, it sounds like you are rather confident Canada will make it out of their group. Do you think they have a good chance of doing so? And if, you know, what are some things that could happen to prevent this team from, you know, seeing the knockout stages?
I think if they don't advance out of Group B, and I think that they will, I'm very confident they will, if they somehow do not, I think it's got to be goal scoring. It's the thing we talk about a lot with Canada, it's scoring goals. They've played 4 games this year. They've been shut out in 2 games. They've scored 3 combined goals. So scoring goals is always going to be key for Canada. And so you got to get goals. Doesn't have to be a lot. It can be just a few. But that's going to be the decider of whether they win the group or come in second. So I think if Canada somehow does not make it out of the group stage, it's going to be goals. And where were they?
Okay. And so the final question that I have for you today is, knowing that that Canada is coming off an Olympic gold, how do you think this team is defining success at this World Cup? Is anything short of a World Cup title a failure for this team?
I think so. I think they want to climb the mountaintop. And you don't climb up halfway. You got to get to the top if you want to win a World Cup. And perhaps it could be Christine Sinclair's final World Cup. We don't know. It's possible. Why not send her and the team out with a World Cup championship? They've done very well at the Olympics, 2 bronze, a gold. The World Cup has been a challenge for them. So, yeah, I think they've got to go and win it. They're not just going there to play, just to have fun, see some kangaroos. They want to win the World Cup. And so I think that's the key. And if you don't come back with having won the World Cup, then that's too bad. That's not good enough.
All
Would the
right.
U.S. say, what would the U.S. say? The U.S. would want to win it, right?
Yes, that's
I
right.
think Canada has to have the same mentality, and so do most of the top teams going there.
That's totally fair. Okay, Har, before I let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to say about Canada?
Canada is a great country. And the women's soccer team is a very strong, terrific team. I think you fans and onlookers should watch out because they're going to be very dangerous. And I hope everyone enjoys the tournament and tunes into the Equalizer podcast and reads all the terrific work we're going to have from our writers down in Australia and New Zealand.
All right, that sounds great. And that's a wrap on today's show. Thanks everyone for listening. And thanks again for joining me, Har, to talk about the Canadian women's national team. We'd like to give a special thank you to our producer, Jacqueline Purdy. For The Equalizer, I'm Ariana Cascone, and we'll be back soon with more on The Equalizer podcast.